Time to take KSL Outdoors. This is Utah's most listened to program about hunting, fishing, camping, and high adventure. All the gear you need to buy, where the fish are biting, and secret places in Utah and around the world where you can have a blast. KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back into KSL Outdoors Radio, hour number two and the final one for another week here. Navidomskis was nice enough to step aside for a second here so we could free up a phone line. He'll be back with us later in this half hour. But it's great to have you listening here on a Saturday morning. Tim Hughes in the studios of Triad Center. We're recording here on a Thursday, kind of a shaky day here downtown with four or five earthquakes that got our attention again this morning. But also Russ Smith at the Sky Call compound up there in the Sugar House area.
Yeah, we're locked and loaded over here, you know.
Locked and loaded for you takes on several meanings, I think, doesn't it?
Well, it does. Let's just leave it at that. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to hear from you, and good to know everything's well where you are. And then down in Southern Utah, our Southern Utah correspondent, as we like to call it, Bob Grove from Road Tripping with Bob and Mark. Hey, Bob.
Yes. Yeah, good to be with you. It gave me a break from digging the bunker in the back.
Is that what you were doing? How far down do you have to go to get in there?
Oh, gosh, I'm going 25 feet.
Oh.
Oh, man.
So you're bringing in the jackhammer and the backhoe.
Oh, yeah, I'm going deep and long and... In fact, I'm so close to the park boundary, I'm going right underneath Zion.
There you go. Get your own entrance. Even if they close down the park, you can still get in.
Yeah, I'll have a gate here with I'll be collecting fees as they go through.
There you go.
You know, Park Service has no sense of humor, Bob. They're going to be at your doorstep pretty soon here.
Yeah, I know. Hey, can you just somehow censor that? You
have to
edit that out somehow.
No, we're gonna end this segment with your mailing address, actually.
Yeah.
It's in Sugar House, right? What's Russ's address?
Yeah. In all seriousness, I'm kind of curious what the vibe is down there in St. George. It's an older community. I guess that's changed a little bit over the years, but it is, for the most part, a retirement community. So I wonder if that makes it feel any different down there than it does up here with all of the restrictions.
You know, I haven't noticed any change. I don't go out as much now. I work out of my home, so I don't have to go into town too much. But as I do, nothing significantly noticeable. That we do have some retirement communities in town, but I don't spend much time over in those areas, so I haven't really seen much. The park has been busy. It seems a lot like business as usual right now.
Yeah. Well, I kind of like to hear that because we have so many people that are hunkered down and really fearful. And one of the things we try to do, or at least I consciously am aware of during the week, we have to report certain things, obviously, on Utah's Morning News when news is breaking and there's all these new developments surrounding the pandemic and the information is important to families. And yet I try to find a way to balance that with some good things that are happening because of this right now and things we're learning and ways people are stepping up to help out. And there are a lot of people that are kind of just taking it as it comes, which if we could all get better at would make this thing a whole lot more comfortable for everybody, I think.
Yeah, very true. One of the things that we're doing, I'm not only a guide, I'm also a tourism consultant. So I work with businesses around the state and area and they're all still open, obviously not doing well, but, take an approach. It's kind of an approach that's being taken in the tourism industry for those businesses that are still open is not do any aggressive marketing right now. Don't put any big campaigns out there and, be shaking the rattles and everything. It's just kind of keep more of a low profile, soft approach, supportive, putting pretty pictures out in social media and that, and just kind of letting people know, yeah, we're still here and we're here when you're ready to come.
By the way, that's not good news for companies like KSL that make their money on advertising, but you know, for every yin, there's a yang happening out there, and we always just have to remind ourselves that we're getting through this together. By the way, when you say working at the place in your house down there, you better make sure that Susan doesn't post any more pictures of you in the middle of the workday sleeping with the dog in your jam jams.
I need to take her phone away from her. You know, she's actually busy on a huge mural right now in St. George. You know, St. George is going through somewhat of a renaissance in the downtown area of building more of a pedestrian area, kind of a gathering area. And she's been commissioned by the tourism department to put a big Greater Zion mural on the wall of a building down there. So she's business as usual for her as well. But, yeah, I got to keep that camera out of her hand.
That's cool. She is a heck of an artist. Anybody that's had a chance to see some of her work, just beautiful stuff. All right. We wanted to talk in this segment about national parks. The only word that I've received as far as things closing down, Bob, in your neck of the woods was Zion shutting off Angel's Landing, huh?
Yeah. The trail is still open up to Scout Lookout, which is the West Rim Trail. But from that point, if you've done Angel's Landing, you can visualize this, that at Scout Lookout, that last half mile that goes out to Angel's Landing, that's been closed. That's where all the chains are, where the climbing is, the narrow ridge. That section has all been closed for obvious reasons. I mean, you can't spread out on that because it gets so crowded. You're, you know, elbow to elbow, and you're all hanging onto the chain that it just wasn't a good situation.
Yeah. Russ, have you ever done that Angel's Landing hike?
No, I have not.
Okay.
And I have no real plans to do it.
Well, if you haven't done it in years past, it's probably getting a little late. Go ahead.
If I do that, I will certainly take a bottle of disinfectant and a few towels with me.
I don't know here's a little skeleton in my closet. I've been to Zion plenty of times, but never have I taken that hike. Bob, you might find that surprising, but I get a little shaky leg with high places and no boundaries.
Well, it's kind of hairy. I mean, there's a narrow ridge across there. I've got pictures of it on my blog that I took. I had a GoPro that I was holding. I looked down at my feet. You could see how narrow the ridge is and the drop on each side. On one side in Refrigerator Canyon's about a, 900 to 1,000 foot drop. And on the other side, on the Big Bend side, is probably more like 12 to 1,300 feet or more. So, so it's got a hairy section there. When I climbed it at the end of last summer, we were doing it. There were a couple of girls from New York that came out here to do that, but they were both terrified of heights. I go, oh, okay, this doesn't make much sense. But so we helped them across, but boy, I tell you, they were going across it very gingerly, but they made it, fortunately.
A couple of years ago when Becky and I went to ski Chamonix and we wanted to do the Vallée Blanche run, which is the longest off-piste ski run in Europe. It's like 13 miles all off-piste, but to get there, you have to take two gondolas up, and you start at just above 13,000 feet. And we had a guide, which everyone suggested because, you need to know where the bottomless crevasses are through the glacier area. And the first thing our guide did is he invited us when we got out of the second gondola to just go over to the rail and enjoy the view. And Becky and I, of course, went right over and started taking pictures and things. And when we came back, he said, all right. He said, I tell everybody to do that first thing so that I know what kind of a day I've got ahead of me. because if you're afraid to get close to the rail, we're going to have trouble with you getting out to where we start to ski because you have to walk across this ridgeline that drops straight down to the valley floor.
Yeah, as a tour guide, I get a lot of people on my tours. We do a Grand Circle tour that goes from St. George to Durango and back and covers everything in between. Grand Canyon, all our national parks here in Utah, Mesa Verde, and other areas. And I get a lot of people on these tours that are just completely terrified of heights, and they're going on a tour that has nothing but heights, exposure in it. The Grand Canyon, Zion, Bryce, the Million Dollar Highway going through the San Juan Mountains down to Ouray from Silverton, and I'm going, of all the possible tours that you could book in the world, and you're terrified of heights, this would probably be the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We get them through it and they make it. And I find out that a lot of people are more afraid of falling than they are of heights. And if you can give them some kind of security that they're not going to fall, then it's not as much of a issue to them. But for some, it's a real fear.
Yeah. And I mean, if they're like me, they just freeze. Forget the shaky leg thing. You just can't move if you get yourself too scared. We're going to have to take a break in about a minute, but I wanted to ask you because the Montana governor and Russ, I don't know if Ranger Stan has had anything to say about this, but the Montana governor shut down the national parks up there, including Glacier and Yellowstone, because people just weren't keeping their distance from each other on the trails up there. Has Megan said anything about that?
I don't know, first off, how the governor can even say that because the parks aren't really open yet anyway.
Well,
so, yeah, I was going to say there's not much traffic in them right now.
Yeah.
No.
I would think going to the sun's not open for sure.
Right. I think they have plans to open their facilities with under canvas as soon as the park's open.
Hmm.
You know, or as soon as they're allowed to.
Yeah. Bob, you haven't heard anything like that regarding all of the Mighty Five, have you?
Nothing yet. I mean, it's kind of snowballing, so I don't know if it will get here. I think if people will start complying to the guidelines, I think they can keep them open. But it's like we said, it seems like when they're in these open spaces, they seem to feel like, everything is normal, and they don't have to. But right at this point, they've closed campgrounds, like the campgrounds in Zion have been closed. The shuttle's closed. Angel's Landing's closed.
Right.
So they're closed. And all the public areas are closed. The visitor centers, Zion Lodge and that. And same with most all the parks. Their visitor centers, the public buildings and that have been closed. Campgrounds in some areas have been closed. So, they're trying to keep as much as little contact there is in these areas where park employees are normally interacting with customers. Now to book permits for backcountry travel and that is all done online. You don't go into a place and apply for it now. So it's all being done electronically so I don't know. I wish I could tell you, Tim, because I have a feeling that if people don't start complying to the rules in the park, the guidelines by the CDC, that may happen here as well.
That'll be too bad. And they're trying their darndest to still give you a place to go and breathe some fresh air and get out of the house. But we need to do our part. We have to take a break here. Navidauskas will rejoin us here in a minute. And, Bob, if you can, we want to talk to you about an article that Russ found about some unique ways to camp in state parks. For all we know, those are still open, although some of the events at state parks have been closed. I got a notification this week. So we'll talk about that right after the bottom of the hour. Make sure you stay with us. More of KSL Outdoors Radio is coming up.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. Tim Hughes along with Mike Navidauskas and, of course, Russ Smith from SkyCall. You've been selling phones out of the shop like crazy the last week, haven't you?
Yeah, it just takes a good earthquake in Utah and sell phones.
I wondered what it was, but that makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I think everything going on kind of awakens that I better be prepared thing in people.
It shakes them up.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
By the way,
yeah, it does.
Just to remind everybody that we're recording this show on Thursday, and I'm sure you guys felt the shakers. We had five of them from, between about 6 in the morning and 10 or 30 or so, and they ranged anywhere from a 2.0 all the way up to a 3.2, but it got our attention in downtown Salt Lake City again because they're located, about 4 miles west of downtown. So coming from a little different part of the valley than the ones that were out in Magna, today, for some reason,
they were beautiful.
You loved it. You're the only one I've found so far.
Well, I think there's other people too, but I was sitting in Chris's office right by a china cabinet when one of those rolled through.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. Little tingle, tingle, tingle with the glass moving around. You know,
I wouldn't call it beautiful. But instead of magnitude at my desk here at Triad Center, I just go by the leaf movement scale, and I can tell whether it's sizable or not.
You know, hey, Russ, I met an Irish woman, and she said the similar thing. It was like, it did me heart good to hear the china rattle.
All right, a couple of things this week we mentioned, and we just talked about this with Bob Grove about national parks being closed down by the Montana governor, and I know, Navi, you wanted to weigh in on that.
Well, it's obvious they don't want tourists in there. I mean, everybody in Montana has been to the park, so anybody who hasn't, hey, who's coming, is obviously bringing the disease with them. So that's their strategy, you know, keep everybody away. I mean, Moab pretty much sent out a thing, don't visit us anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and now Summit County, Park City, is also telling everybody to stay home. And a couple of days ago told anybody that was visiting that you've got a couple of hours here or a day or so to calmly find your way back out of Park City.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we advertise, come on in, but right now, don't, you know?
Right.
I get it.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense.
You know, I talked with Ranger Stan about their two properties with under canvas here in Utah, and that's Moab and Zion's, and they're scheduling to open those up. So they have kept the faith. They are preparing to open them. They don't know for sure when they can, but they want to be back in business the first day they can be.
Yeah.
You know, on TV, you see all the trails, you know, people walking on trails. That's the most crowded place I've seen on TV is on the trails.
I know. And although I haven't experienced, and I said this a minute ago, but although I haven't experienced myself, which is letting a little skeleton out of my closet, the Angels Landing Trail, people are holding on to the same chain or rope in some areas to get up there. So,
right.
I mean, who knows? But keeping yourself away from others, that 6 feet thing is important, even if you're outdoors breathing fresh air.
And
if you're not going to play by the rules, then they're going to take some of these things away in the meantime just to be safer for the broader group. I noticed this past week I wanted to get in here with our news of the week, which, by the way, is an hour later just because we wanted to talk about something else last hour. But the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources is reminding people to adhere to posted signs. 17 people were cited for trespassing at closed wildlife management areas and waterfowl management areas in northern Utah last weekend.
I saw that on the news.
Yeah, because they were actually headed out of bounds into critical winter range habitat for the mule deer, and it included people that were sighted at the Hennifer Echo Wildlife Management Area, 4 sighted in Ogden Bay, 3 sighted at Millville Face, 2 sighted at Middle Fork, and 1 sighted at the Public Shooting Grounds Wildlife Management Area northwest of Corinne.
Yeah, I mean, people need to obey the law. I don't know, did they usually don't go out, and now they're going out?
Well, Russ and I were trying to figure that out. Why, you know, why now? Why in the numbers?
Exactly.
Are these people that don't regularly, you know, spend time in the outdoors, and they just didn't know the rules of these areas? I think it's a fair question.
Yeah, haven't heard about this before.
Yeah. But they said from now until April 11th, the most critical time of the year for deer in Utah, and in addition to being weak for a long winter or from a long winter, deer transitioning from eating a diet of browsing to eating mostly green grasses. And, you know, their digestive systems are really delicate. We've talked about that with the wildlife folks before. So anyway, just mind your manners. Stay out of those areas. And in the birding areas, nesting time is coming around, and you just can't be going in there and disturbing those areas because that messes up future populations. So
absolutely. And it's great we have these policies in place to preserve our wildlife. They need some space.
Yeah. Something you want to throw in there, Russell?
No.
Okay.
That's rare. I love it.
All right.
Nope. Got nothing to say.
Okay. We'll take another break. We'll come back with more of KSL Outdoors here in just a minute.